put his entire mouth in it.
Mouth in it. Near it, maybe.
Near it? Maybe, yeah. Oh, hello there.
Hey.
And welcome to the Super Fun Awesome Happy Time Pedal Show podcast.
Hey, welcome. We're just debating coffee ethics.
Coffee ethics. So, I don't know what else to say about coffee ethics.
Oh, I just picked up the wrong cup because they're both the same size and they're both from the same place.
From Oog.
Oog, yeah.
Oog.
It stands for Urban Garden, which is like retro metro.
Urban Garden.
Hipster cafe.
Oh, it is. Yeah, they were very hipster looking.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Lots of shorthand beard or man buns and beards.
Yeah.
But then there's nothing wrong with beards.
No.
Well, mine anyway. So, yes, what are we talking about again? This is like pedals and stuff.
Mostly.
So what's new in your world, Alex?
Well, we haven't done any of this stuff for a while, so we did videos today.
It's been ages. It seems like it's been ages. Yeah. We did a whole bunch of videos for Mojo Stomp, for Tim at Mojo Stomp Boxes.
Yep. Some retro,
like
metro...
8 or 9 or something?
Japanese things. Yeah, it's a few.
In 2 days, like... 2 days, we kind of just...
Smashed them out, mate.
Toads smashed them. And then we did a couple of other ones for us, for our thing.
Yeah.
And then we haven't... It's been...
Then I was sick for about a week.
Sick, and
then
you had AIDS.
Oh, yeah, yeah. that got better.
That got better.
Luckily.
the spots went away.
That's like the Monty Python thing. Like, she turned me into a newt. Got better.
Yeah.
So my AIDS is cleared up, which is nice.
So it's been a while. And yeah, we podcast as well. We haven't done one for quite a while.
And then Easter happened.
Easter happened, and then kids were on school holidays. And
yep.
School holiday programs were started by wives, or a wife.
Yours.
Yeah, but we're back, so I hope everyone's had a good Easter and good all that stuff. And good things. So what's new actually out there? Not just with us, but what's new out there? Any new releases? Exciting
the
new releases?
Newish release, but it's actually been like demoed now. It's the Monument, the tremolo from, is it Walrus?
Ah, yes.
Walrus Audio?
With
yeah.
the two buttons.
Mm. And it has those really cool wave shapes too.
Yeah, it sounds good. I like it. And I think, does it have a harmonic tremolo setting?
Yes.
Because I like harmonic tremolos.
Me too.
Ooh. Totally unrelated. The Greer compressor.
Oh, yeah.
That sounds really good.
That's cool.
That's something I'd like to get my hands on at some stage.
Definitely.
Actually, before, just want to mention this, and just wondering, I don't know a whole lot about this whole podcast stuff. Maybe someone can help us and leave a comment or something like that. But iTunes is very unhelpful when it comes to finding out how many...
Elusive.
Elusive, that's a good word. Yes. iTunes is very elusive. With
what the hell is going
how
on?
Many people are listening and how many people are subscribing and all that sort of stuff. They don't like giving you any information whatsoever. And yeah. Podbean, we've had at least 4 people listen to our show on Podbean. No, we had about, I think, all up 500-600 downloads on Podbean.
Okay.
But there's a thing in the analytics section, and when you go to their help page, it's very... it's a little bit vague, but it's the feed hits. So if anyone listens who does podcasts or knows anything about that, let me know. Because it says the feed hits are basically like subscribers, but not subscribers, but subscribers from other platforms. And it says we had this year alone, this is only in 2017, almost 15,000. So, do we have 15,000 subscribers? I doubt it somehow, but...
Possibly not.
Do we? So, if anyone knows a bit more about it, let me know, because I don't... I clicked on a little question mark next to Feed Hits on Podbean.
Yeah.
And it took me to the help page and had a few different articles about it, and I read 2 of them.
Mm.
And it basically... The way... What I got from it was that it is subscribers from other platforms, but not all platforms have subscribers, so some of them are just listens as well, I think, or something like that.
Maybe it is listens.
No, but it did mention subscribers. So anyway, if anyone listens to podcast or does podcasts and knows anything about it, let us know. Totally unrelated. Back to regular programming.
What did you do today? We had a we shot three videos this morning.
Three, yes. We got a great, great looking and great sounding delay pedal from Alexandre. Alex, I don't know. From he's French, so you can pronounce his name that way. From Anna Sounds.
Yes.
Now, Anna Sounds, I've never played one of them before, but there is a place called Deluxe Guitars here in Australia, in Melbourne, for all you non-Arsies. And it's basically a shop, quite a big shop, and it has pretty much only pedals in it, and it has just about every brand you can possibly imagine of pedals in it.
Yeah.
A couple of guitars, they stock like Nash guitars, and I think they now stock Friedman guitars.
A few boutique amps and guitars, like
Friedman amps and
Dr. Z stuff.
Dr. Z and Atomic, those weird looking 50s TV looking amps.
Oh, really?
They look really cool.
Okay, cool.
And Victory, I think they have now as well.
Yeah.
Anyway,
a few things.
Every time I go down to Melbourne, that's a place I like to go to because it's just, you see all this stuff you don't see anywhere else on shelves. And I've seen those pedals. I remember quite vividly looking at them and going, they look really cool. Because it looks like the top, if you've ever seen them, and there'll be pictures up on Facebook. If you go to our Facebook, actually, go to our Facebook, go to our YouTube channel and subscribe there while you're at it. And go to your girlfriend or wife or boyfriend. Not that any girls usually listen to this stuff. And subscribe on their stuff too, so there's more subscribers. Anyway, basically the top of it looks like a piece of wood, or I think it's bamboo.
Yeah.
And they etch stuff out of it. It looks really, really cool.
Yeah, it's laser cutting stuff. I've got a sign for my recording studio where we do the videos, and the sign in my live room is done by a company that laser cut into a piece of plywood.
Yeah. So what's your studio called?
It's called Paperback Recording Co.
Where could you find out more about it?
On the internet.
Oh. So,
but the thing with the laser cut, it's so precise that because of this cool, like, it's almost like a paintbrush type font that I did my logo in, I just sent them a copy of the JPEG or whatever it was.
Comic Sans.
Yeah, and they could do all the detailing around the edges of the like logo, around the font stuff.
Yeah.
So it's really precise. So on a pedal, they actually kind of laser cut in all the names of the controls and ins and outs labeled with laser cut, and it's really quite tight work.
Yeah, it looks really, really cool.
Yeah,
and the Anna Sounds logo. Now, okay, if you look at pictures of it, or if you look at the pedal just sitting there, not turned on, not plugged in, it just looks like a sort of green, turquoisey coloured, really big LED.
Yes.
Yet, but when you turn it on, it's not the whole thing that lights up, it's just the A, and it's like a little S.
Yeah,
and
a sense.
Of the logo that lights up, and it looks really cool.
Mm.
And not only that, but you have an internal trim pot where you can set how bright you want it to be, which is great.
It's very cool.
Because, for example, not that there's anything really wrong with it, but we did the Anarchy Audio, Gain of Tones.
Yep.
And the green LED on that is so bright.
Yeah,
it's like ridiculously bright. It's like the bat signal in the sky when you turn it on. It'd be great to be able to turn that down. Okay. So on stage, you don't get blinded by this light on the floor. So I'm a big fan of it. So we did a demo of that. Sorry, long story. I talk too much.
We did two reverb pedals as well this morning. Did the my new Death by Audio reverberation. Is it called Reverberation Machine?
Which is cool.
And it has a gain stage in it, like a fuzzy gain stage too.
It's very gainy. You can just use it as a drive pedal.
Yeah, you can use it like this fuzzy overdrive thing. And then the reverb goes up to 125%.
Yes, when 100% is not quite enough.
No.
If you're at 100% and you need that little bit more, where do you go?
Oh, you can't.
No.
Until now.
Until now, you can go down in 25%. Mm. And then we did the Supernatural by Digitech.
Which is kind of like the opposite to the Death by Audio.
Yeah.
Because it's clean and pristine and like...
Well, smooth, the lexicon.
Smooth hall, ambient things. Yeah. And the other reverb is like, fucking reverb, out of my way.
It's got Tourette's.
Yeah.
Really. Yeah, it's a very sort of pristine, but I like it because it goes beyond what most other reverbs go. You go... I think it's what I even said in the video. It's like most. If you take a normal reverb pedal, and that normal reverb pedal, you put everything on 10.
Yeah,
it's about the same as on that one. You put everything on about 5 or 6. So you've got these all this extra. You can go further, and I quite like it. And there's two reverbs on there: the Supernatural. No, not Supernatural. Supernova.
Nova, yeah.
Supernova and the Ferb.
Yep, which is a phaser.
One's a sort of flangery, shimmery one, and the other one is a phaser.
Yep.
I really like them. They're kind of cool. Definitely. So that's the three pedals we did today.
Excellent.
What are your thoughts on the Anasound Utopia? That's the name of it.
Yeah, it is really, really, really good.
It's a very nice sounding delay.
It's actually like it's analog, but it's... kind of heads towards the tape side of things.
I think that's what they're aiming for, yeah.
As far as, repeats, the sound of the repeats and modulation, that kind of thing. Modulation's really good.
Yeah, very nice.
I have another pedal, an analog delay that has modulation on it. Sometimes it's a bit too much. It's like...
It's a love pedal.
Yeah.
Well, with that, you have internally as well, you have three trim pots. One for modulation rate, depth, and tone. So you can make it darker. And as we found out as well, if you turn a tone down, it doesn't self-oscillate.
Yeah,
kind of get rid of this, which I like. So you've got to have a bit of brightness in it.
Yeah, it kind of affects the amount of repeats.
Yeah. But yeah, other than that, great. I think it's a really, really good pedal. I really like it. I'm hoping to get our hands on some more of the Anasound stuff because it looks really cool. I think there's a...
Super neat.
I think they have a fuzz that has... one knob or no knob on it, maybe?
Oh, really? And I've actually looked at all the range.
They just released a compressor, too, which looks really interesting.
Okay, cool.
And I think they've got a couple of fuzzes, maybe a phaser as well. They've got a few pedals.
It's been a while since I played with a phaser.
I'll check it out. You talk.
I've been doing a fair bit of recording in my studio with a singer-songwriter guy. And we've been using a lot of pedals on things, which is fun. We used your Flux Effects, what's it called, the reverb?
Liquid Ambience.
Liquid Ambience.
Great, great reverb.
And Dan, a recording client, referred to it as, what did I say, Angels Farting.
Angels Farting.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So that's nice.
They have a silicon fuzz called Feed Me.
Ooh.
With a BC-108 chip, which has no knobs on it.
Oh, cool.
It's just...
Nice. That's
it's cool. Just got that big display on it. Just going back to that quickly, so just what I've got here.
Sure.
So they've got...
this is the Anasound
stuff. That's the Anasound stuff. So they've got a Utopia Tape Echo with modulation. They've got a little buffer called Bumper. They've got one called Savage, which is a Centaur-inspired pedal. Ah. They've got a Cerberus, which is a custom overdrive. Biton fuzz, an octave doubled fuzz, a Feed Me silicon fuzz with no knobs on it. That's cool, actually, that Biton fuzz. It looks like a cracker with a bite taken out of it.
Ah, I see. Yeah,
cool. That's kind of cool. Like a biscuit. A Freq Up custom boost, a Phase Lag organic phaser, and a Lazy Comp, which is the new one, which has got one knob on it as well only. But cool. I think they... seem to be very into the have total control over everything internal
pots
and stuff,
dip switches and things. Yeah, cool.
Oh, cool. And I just got an email back.
Yes.
I may as well share this from the Australian. Sorry, we're kind of jumping topics, but I've been really, really keen and interested in this Meris stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if people have seen it. They've been going crazy with the teasers and stuff. So Meris, as far as I know, is a company. It's a husband and wife, I think. Mm-hmm. And they were heavily involved with Strymon, possibly when it was Damage Control before it turned into Strymon, or possibly during Strymon already, but in the early stages of Strymon. Then they went, you know what, we're going to go and do our own thing and go more into pro audio. And it did like a 500 series preamp and reverb and all that sort of stuff.
The preamp's actually pretty cool, like also for Guitar Land too, because it has an effects loop in the 500 series preamp. So you can run effects pedals and stuff into your preamp where you track.
Yeah, that's cool.
Mm.
Anyway, so they've been teasing like crazy for ages. They probably late last year, early this year, Pedals and Effects, that one Alderay or whatever his name is, and Nick Reinhardt, kind of all of a sudden had this video with the prototype of a pedal called the Autobit Junior, because they do have a 500 series version of that as well, which is like a bit crusher stutter kind of effect.
Yes,
which sounds great.
Yeah,
they've put that video up and they did that sort of demo, and it sounded really, really good. And I've been craving to get one of those. And I've emailed Meris, and they said, "Yeah, we're in the final stages. We'll let you know when it happens." And they're actually really nice. We did a couple of emails back and forth. And anyway, today, this morning, so what's today? Just after Easter.
Tuesday
after the Easter weekend. They finally got released, and you can buy them in a shop, on their online shop. And I went to buy one, and I went through their, the shopping thing. And then when it comes to shipping, it's usually by default set to the United States. And then you click on a little tab, and then you scroll through all the countries, like, you know, every country you can imagine on the planet, and use fairly towards the end, and you've got to go to A, to Australia, so you've got to scroll all the way up. So you scroll through every country on the planet, and then you get to A, and all of a sudden there is no Australia. And after a lot of cursing, then I actually messaged them on Facebook, and I said, "So what, you're not doing shipping to Australia?" And they go, "Oh, we have a distributor in Australia."
Mm-hmm.
So contact them, and it gave me a name and an email address of a person, and I contacted them, and then I just then got the email from them saying they're going to be here by the end of April.
Oh, cool.
They've got to sort out some electrical compliance stuff for Australia.
Oh, okay, sure.
So I'm getting one from the Australian distributor.
Excellent.
So stay tuned for a Meris Autobit Junior demo.
That would be fun.
Yes. Totally unrelated.
Yeah.
Where were we before?
I don't know.
Somewhere. So what else is new, Alex? What's new with you?
I've been buying pedals.
Yeah, you have.
Yeah, I have, yeah. This thing, mate.
Just looking around now, so we're sitting here in a control room. So if you watch our videos, we're sitting where we usually would be sitting when we do our videos. Just with slightly less light on and no cameras pointed at us. And just sitting here, we've got a Strymon Deco I'm looking at. We've got the Green Child G777. We've got a Grace Compressor. Oh, that's the small, what are they called? Red Witch?
Yep, the Seven Sister Series.
Seven Sister Series. And you have now in your hands,
this is my kind of birthday present to myself.
Happy birthday.
Yeah, thanks. March,
yeah.
An Echolution 2 Ultra Pro by Pigtronix. The big, big flagship thing. So I was kind of tossing up between this and a Timeline and whatever else is out there. And I went with this one because... what's his name? Michael someone? I keep forgetting his surname.
McIntyre.
No. It's the opposite to a British comedian.
Okay.
He's a session guitarist from LA.
Landau.
Might have been Landau. There's another guy... It was on one
Jackson.
Of, no. Alive? Think Alive.
Think Alive, okay. Michael.
He was on one of the...
McDonald.
Tim and... No. You don't know me.
McDonald, your brother.
hi, Michael. He was on one of the Tim and Pete's Guitar Show episodes.
Oh.
The guy that does all the ambient stuff is like sort of hit the scene same time as Tim Pierce when he first started doing session stuff.
Oh, I don't know. I can't remember. Anyway, Michael something or other.
He was saying he found this was the best thing to work in an effects loop of driven amps because he uses a boogie head or something in this amongst other heads in his studio. And he said in a loop, it's just really, really cool. So that kind of pushed me over the edge with the Pigtronix Echolution 2 Ultra Pro something multi-tap delay. Yeah. And I've only used it very little bit so far because I've been kind of busy. But so far it's really cool. And it has a software editor that I haven't used yet, but that should be fun.
I'm just looking up Tim Pierce's thing.
I don't think it's Lando. I think it's another one.
I don't think Lando was on the show yet.
No. Yeah, has like many kind of things. Does like different filter things, tap divisions, different what do you call it? Modulation shapes. Heaps of expression control, full MIDI, blah blah blah, stereo in and out. Yeah, it's cool.
There is no Michael on the Tim. You mean on the Tim and Pete's Guitar Show?
Yeah, yeah.
There's George Josh Smith.
No.
There's Justin Derrico. There is Gil Yaron and Matt.
No.
Scannell.
No. It was in.
There is. This is riveting stuff. Eddie Kramer.
No, I know who Eddie Kramer is.
Warren Hewitt.
Nope.
Jason Scheff.
No,
Alan Hines. He's a good player, by the way, Alan Hines.
Which one's Alan Hines? Maybe. Yeah, I'm getting mixed up.
This dude.
Hey, this is Tim Pierce. Oh. My friend Alan Hines came over to give us a guitar lesson. Alan is a beautiful
soul. No.
He's a killer player, that dude.
That guy is great, yes. But it wasn't him.
Anyway. Michael Summerother, McDermott.
So, yeah, that's kind of like tipped me over rather than getting a timeline or something. Yes?
Oh, and a lot of people rave about Echolution. I mean,
I just need to put some time in. It is kind of one of those things you need to put a bit of time in. I've played with a few presets and still one or two. But I think I need some sort of put the effort in kind of thing. Get the most out of it.
Cool.
What else is floating around? Oh, this compressor. The tiny little Grace compressor from Red Witch.
From New Zealand.
Is it New Zealand?
I think they're from New Zealand.
Oh, cool. It's tiny. It's like one of the little mini house ones. And it's really grabby. It's like really...
Like the Pigtronix one that I... The Micro Philosopher's Stone.
But this doesn't have a blend, so it's like grabby or...
Grabby or not grabby.
Grabby or grabby.
Grabby or off. what else? Oh, and I see, not that it's yours, but I see a colour box, JHS colour box here, which we might be demoing.
Should demo that before I have to give it back, because I'm borrowing it.
That's what it sounds like when you turn it on.
Wow.
Yep.
And then
mind blown.
I traded another pedal for another compressor. So I've got another one coming, which is one of the MXR custom comps, the white sparkly ones.
Oh yeah.
So that's on its way.
You've been busy.
And should be here today actually. I got the email. One of the new Friedman power supplies, the big 10 output isolated things.
That's a pretty serious power supply.
Yes, it's a manly power supply.
It's what manly men use.
Just because I'm going to finally build my studio recording board.
We're men in tights. tight.
We watched that movie the other day. It's funny, it's so shit, but it's good. Yeah.
Sorry, getting sidetracked.
A couple of months ago we watched that.
And by the way, again, unrelated, we're not eating, by the way. We got into a lot of trouble for eating always when we start the podcast. And
so we finished burritos.
We had lunch. We had our burritos and the Oog coffee. And, yeah, so now we're doing this. Yeah, you've been busy. I've been waiting for the Maris thing to finally come out, and I've been waiting for the Digitech Freak Out to finally come out. Yep. But it's still only in pre-order.
Yeah, I've kind of been...
I've been kind of good.
I've been working a lot, so I've kind of had a little bit of disposable cash to get some fun things. So that's been really cool.
Yeah, you don't have kids.
Yes.
Correctamundo. Yeah, so we've been a bit slack with the whole podcast thing, and we've been a bit slack with the whole video demos, even though we've been still releasing like one a week or so at least. But
oh, and another one I bought.
Okay, sorry. Yeah,
I forgot the name of the actual, it's actually called Proverb, the Mantic one.
Oh yes, that's right, Mantic.
Another reverb, which I haven't had much to do with that company before. Like,
no, like, I've just heard a lot of things about it being quite quirky stuff.
Yeah, so I can do like spring-ish. And then to, like, platey hall verbs. Excuse me. And that's going to go on my my studio board, too.
Oh, shit, bro.
Yeah.
Oh, no, we've got to put an E on the thing. Explicit language.
Oh, shit.
Well, twice. Two E's.
Two E's.
Yeah.
Cool.
Cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I haven't I haven't really bought anything. Actually, the only thing that's sort of a bit new, and it took like 2 months to get here, was I ordered these gravity picks to try out.
Are they heavy?
Hey! Huh. No, they had a thing where they did like the custom engraving for free, and I went there, and I think shipping was free too or something like that.
Gabor's pick.
So I thought, yeah, I'm going to try it out. And I don't mind it. It's a bit brighter, a bit more attack than it.
Yeah, it's pretty thick acrylic kind of.
I've been using these chicken picks, which I really like. Which is same sort of thickness, 2 mil. I like it heavy.
And they're quite small, like
they're the sort of jazz. They're not jazz tiny, 3. Yeah. No, a bit bigger than the jazz 3s.
So I've got, not that it really matters to anyone,
especially when you can't see it.
Yeah.
So my pick is this size. His pick is this size.
So yeah,
there. No, it's got. It's big, not a bad pick actually.
Big stubby.
Not a big bad pick, but it's almost a bit too much attack for me. I like the chicken pick, it's a bit mellower.
Cool.
So that's my new stuff. Because I've been waiting for this Maris thing, but because I thought I'll buy that because they're not cheap. But yeah, well, hopefully that's going to happen soon. Well, by the end of this month.
Very fun.
Other than that, yeah, so we've been a bit slack, like I was saying before, with getting the podcast out and doing new videos. It's just been crazy busy, I think. For me anyway, I've been gigging a lot. This week I'm gigging Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So a big week of gigs and, you know, with kids and holidays and just haven't had much time. Lots of gigs, lots of different bands, and you got to learn some songs and... Oh.
I was talking to someone the other day about this stuff where what am I, 33 now? Similar age to these people I was talking to.
He's young.
Jewish. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Young people.
33. Huh? About 5 years ago, probably had similar kind of income, but like half the work. So we kind of, this somehow life has made it more busy. We're making more money, but it's costing more to live.
Living expenses go up, yeah, and of course. This, well, you bought a house.
Well, yeah.
Welcome to the club, mate.
But it's
these youngins. When I was your age, mate, tish.
Oh, no. Yeah. Used to live in a stable, didn't you?
I used to carry all my brothers and sisters.
Through the snow,
over the mountains.
Middle of summer. Yeah.
Doing a paper route, milk route, all along the way.
Yep.
Making 3 sixpence.
Yeah.
3 schnick-nick-schnicks.
That's not a thing.
Which, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's true, though. I mean, I'm working like crazy lately, but then, you know, when you
which is great, like, Donna.
You've got a mortgage, you've got kids, expensive stuff.
But kind of, we need to make time sometimes to do things like this.
Yeah, absolutely. And life gets in the way.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's all right. We try to do it as often as we can. And I mean, the videos, we try to do at least one a week. I always try to post at least one a week. I think the podcast has been almost 2 months since our last one. But we'll try to do... we've got a whole bunch of people sort of lined up. Because, I mean, part of the whole podcast thing is the whole going to see people in their environment.
Yep.
Going to their studios, home studios, or wherever they store all their stuff, and looking at their guitars, looking at their pedal boards. I know we've been talking about not just musicians, but also guys like Roger, friend of ours, Roger from Brisbane, who runs Signal Chain, which is like a boutique pedal shop, online shop. Mm-hmm. Going to go and talk to him, and for sure, a couple of local musicians and local amp builders like Aaron Sleepwalk.
Yes,
talking about, you know, going to see him.
I saw him on the weekend. I should have asked him. Yeah.
Cool. And then hopefully also guys like Peter Coppers, who's a guitarist in the church and lives locally and we know. And
yep.
Bunch of guys like that. But it's just always the time factor, you know, going to do it and sitting there for a while and you know, while there's a million other things to do. So sorry about that. what we should actually be talking about, again, different sort of topic.
Sure.
Since we've had our last podcast, we've done the Anarchy Audio Gain of Tones as well.
Yeah.
That's,
we've
been sent that pedal to do a demo.
Did we talk about that last time?
I don't think we had a podcast since then.
It's, very much in the land of Prince of Tone and King of Tones.
Yes.
Kind of thing. It's, like we mentioned on the actual video, it's definitely his take on that circuit.
It's not the same, no. We had it. We AP'd it with a King of Tone. I brought my King of Tone.
Mm. Just cool, because it's like, if you're doing a direct copy of this, that's not really exciting.
No. So this was sort of in between a King of Tone and a Prince of Tone. So yeah. King of Tone has the two channels, totally separate channels with separate controls.
Yep.
Prince of Tone has the one, but with the little dip switch thingy, and his is sort of a in between the two, where you have two channels, but it shares a
tone controls
and that. And yep. It has that mid shift thing. What was it called?
Oh, it has presence and a tone.
Presence and a tone, but one is like mids, more mids, and one is more the top end, isn't it? Was it something like that?
Well, presence is top end.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But the tone was more, not just tone, but it was more... anyway, I don't know if I remember correctly. But that was a really cool pedal.
Yeah. It
was very nice.
Sounds great.
And, the knobs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh. It's always, people laugh. But, no, really nice knobs, like the actual knobs that were used.
They feel good.
And mine out of the gutter, people, I'm actually just talking about physical knobs.
Feel good in your hand.
Feel good in your hands. They're smooth. Excellent. The shaft is that. No.
Too late.
Too late, yeah. No. So it's they have a bit of weight to them when you turn it. And it was actually a nice selection of knobs. So I liked it.
Yeah.
Visually appealing.
Very cool.
Knob. And
it's like our mate Nick who does the...
Midnight Amplification.
Midnight Amplification. It's when, I know he obviously puts a lot of effort into it, but coming up with original designs graphically and visually for things, and not just having another,
tube screamer-looking thing, boss-looking thing.
What are they called? Hammond enclosures? Like the pressed steel things that whack some controls on top of them.
So that was really good. What else did we do since then? Since the last podcast? We did the Goo. I don't know if we talked about that in the last podcast.
Yeah. We did the
Tone Concepts Goo. That was really good too.
It is very cool. It's a very good distortion pedal.
It is a very good distortion pedal.
Speaking of distortion pedals.
Yes.
We had this massive conversation last night on the internet.
Oh, yes, with Tim, our friend Tim from Mojo Stompboxes.
Mojo. I didn't realise this because I'm not massive, educated on the topic.
With anything.
But art, religion, and politics is fine. But when it comes to vintage Boss pedals...
I'll take vintage Boss pedals 101, thank you.
I didn't realise the old DS1s are actually different, like pre-94.
Yes.
So, because I watched a video of the guys from that pedal show doing a guitarist video, which has been out for a while.
Yeah.
But I only got around to watching it. And an old DS1 into an AC30 sounded kick-ass.
Mm. Well, I know...
Japanese ones.
I know. I was typing it. We're talking, we're doing like a group chat on Messenger, and you guys were talking, and I was typing... there's the thing with the Black Label ones, and that's when Tim mentioned the Black Label thing.
Yep.
I do remember that a lot of people say if you get one of the old Japanese or Taiwanese, but with the black sticker, not the silver sticker.
Is that on the back you're talking about?
On the bottom, yeah.
On the bottom of the pedal.
So do you have any boss pedals around here?
I know what the bottom means.
Yeah. No, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
They're silver now, but they used the old ones are have a black.
Has all the details in them.
Yeah, and it's the Black Label. They're different. Because once they moved to the other labels, I think they either moved factory or they moved just components.
Sure.
Changed components. And I know that's why a lot of people say, and that's why all those, that's how Robert Keeley started his life.
Sure, yeah.
By doing a lot of these mods where he modded the newer DS1s to sound like the old ones.
Hmm. And I obviously had an old one when I was in high school in the 90s. Because it sounded like crap. Also, I probably couldn't play very good. So.
Well, that was the first one. Yeah. I actually had a DS1 I borrowed off a friend, which probably would have been pre-94.
Mm.
And then I bought one, and then I got rid of it, and then I bought another one.
Yeah.
I remember. Those.
How funny is that? Playing for 20 years and like, you know what I'd like to buy? A DS1.
DS1, the first pedal that everyone buys. But yeah, no, I know there's a lot of that stuff. The older ones, the Black Label ones, do sound better. And like Tim was saying, Tim is a from Mojo Stompoxes. He's a fountain of knowledge when it comes to that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
He was saying even the Japanese and the Taiwanese were the same back in the days, but then once it came to 94, around about 94, that's when they changed stuff and I guess made it cheaper probably to manufacture.
Hmm.
And then I think most of the manufacturing went to Taiwan.
Well, that was kind of around the stage when... was it? I'm trying to remember because I was in...
Well, that's when the clones and stuff started as well.
Okay.
Mid-90s.
I was kind of in school, so I kind of remember a bit of it. But Japanese stuff was considered fairly cheap and, like...
Still, yeah,
not that good quality.
Yeah.
But then that whole thing changed... And then that kind of mindset went to China. But now China's making good stuff now, so that mindset is going to another Asian.
Well, it went from Japan, I think it went to Korea first.
Oh, yeah,
because Korea was then the cheap stuff, and then the Korean stuff is really good now.
Yeah, sure.
And then it sort of went to China, and now even the Chinese stuff has become really, really good.
Yep.
And now that's why, like, you see now a lot of Squires and stuff are made in, like, Indonesia. And
maybe it's Indonesia.
You know... It's kind of moving south.
Yeah.
It'll be in Australia soon. Made in Australia.
Darwin.
Oh, this is one of those made in Australian ones.
Lame.
But yeah, I mean, there was a time when the Japanese stuff was considered, you know,
cheap and nasty.
Cheap and crappy. Like when the whole Squire thing, when they bought, when Fender bought the company in Japan that made all these Fender reproductions, like Greco, Fernandez, Aria Pro as well, and factories like Matsumoko and Fujigen in Japan made some awesome stuff.
Yep.
And then Fender moved in there and bought the factory and turned into Fender Japan, which then became Squire at first.
Mm.
But then a lot of the early 80s Squire stuff is considered really, really good now.
Collectible, yeah.
Isn't that collectible and considered, you know, of similar quality to the US Fender stuff at the time.
Yep.
It's the same sort of thing, you know. It's okay. That, and I mean, the Japanese, if they're known for anything, they're known for being ultra anally retentive.
Yeah. I was going to say meticulous.
Well, that's same thing. Extremely meticulous and extremely, you know,
precise. Yeah.
Precise. Everything is precision in Japan,
which is great.
It's just their culture and the way they are, but. Mm. So that was interesting, and it's always interesting talking to Tim. He just did a thing with Guitar Nerds too. I think did an interview with Guitar Nerds. Because one of the Guitar Nerds dudes, who's now one of the, I think, product managers or something like that for Boss Europe.
Yeah.
they've sort of started chatting a bit. And anyway, because yeah, I think Tim has got one of the larger collections worldwide, I think, of vintage bar stuff.
Even just his eBay store is like 3 pages long or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably just the stuff he's selling.
That's it. Well, I think a lot of the stuff he's not selling. And and he does have a store now in Sydney too, I think, actual physical store.
Oh, cool.
In the rehearsal space in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're ever down that way, go and see Tim and tell him Gabor, Alex and Gabor sent us.
You.
Me. Him. Anyway. So... What's coming up? What's happening in the near future?
Wants and needs.
Wants and needs. Okay.
Needs is a strong word, but wants is wants is a stronger word.
Stronger word. Weeds.
Weeds. Yes.
Nonts. Nonts.
Nonts.
Nonts. Well, the Maris Otterbit Junior.
Cool.
So I'm very excited. I'm very looking forward to that, and the Digitech. Freak out. The feedback generator.
Cool.
See, I think that's going to be. I'm really looking forward to that. One of the things. Okay. Now.
Okay.
Fairly recently, like last year sometime, I pretty much decided, in a moment of genius. No, I pretty much decided. Due to noise restrictions and due to other things around here and in this area, the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, to go ampless on stage. So basically, I use, at the moment, I use this little Hughes & Kettner head. We did a demo for it, which is actually a really cool head, just on a clean channel, and I run into a two-note torpedo cab simulator, which just goes straight into the PA, and then 9 out of 10 times now I use... in-ears on stage, so there's no amps on stage. I'll just go straight into the PA, and I can do my, you know, I've got my iPad there, I can do my own in-ear mix, and you know, do my mix and so on. Now, one of the things I found out that I'm missing, which I used to use a lot more, was feedback. And the problem is on stage, when you don't have a speaker facing the guitar, it's all just in your monitors.
Yep.
You play a note, even with quite heavy distortion. And it just goes, and it goes away. there is no feedback. So I'm thinking it could be really cool, especially for that, no speakers on stage.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I do use depending on the venue and what kind of volumes you can play at, sometimes we do use fallbacks, or I bring a fallback. And then when you have a fallback, you still get the feedback thing, just the same as you would with an amp. It still works.
Okay, cool.
Maybe not quite as...
Awesome
as with a normal amp, but it still works. But especially with in-ears, you just don't get feedback. So I'm really quite looking forward to the Digitech Freakout to be able to get feedback.
Oh, that's cool.
Back.
It's actually a legitimate reason. Not just playing like Van Halen stuff.
No, I never play Van Halen. No, I just like the idea of getting feedback back.
Ooh.
Feedback back.
You bring the feedback back.
Bringing feedback back.
Excellent.
Baby's got feedback. I like feedback and I cannot lie. So that's the two things I'm really looking forward to. That's two things I'm quite keen on.
Cool.
Other than that, at the moment, to tell you the truth, I'm more and more interested in more synth kind of stuff.
Yep.
And looking up a lot of Moog stuff.
Cool.
And looking up a lot of that Pittsburgh modular stuff, and I'm kind of yearning for that.
Because they do a, if you don't know, Pittsburgh modular do a guitar interface modular synth.
Yeah, whether they still do it or not, I don't know, but they did it at one stage, or prototypes anyway. There's a really cool video with Vernon Reed.
There is, yeah.
And it's basically this pedal enclosure. That's a dog, I think. That's not a euphemism.
Some noise.
It's basically like a fairly large pedal enclosure.
Yep.
With an input and an output, and I think there's like a preamp or something in it. And it's pretty much a foot pedal Eurorack.
Yep.
Is it Eurorack? I think it's Eurorack, not 500. It's Eurorack.
Yeah.
Where you can put Eurorack modular stuff in it and run your guitar through it.
Very cool.
And it's pretty cool.
Yep. It's very cool. Because you need a preamp to...
I think you need it. So, yeah, so it has a preamp, a really clean preamp.
That's why you just can't, put your guitar into it. Unless you use, like, something like Colourbox or just a guitar preamp type thing.
Which sounds like this when you turn it on.
That's it. I know that sound anyway.
Because it's completely different. This is an Echolution. Totally different sound.
Yeah.
This is a... Guess what this one is.
Wrong.
That's a Strum and Deco. Let's try one more. Last one.
This is the best game ever.
Best game ever. This is a Greenchild G777. See, they do sound different. Let's go back to the colour box.
Oh, it's brighter.
Yeah, it's a different, different thing.
It's more colourful.
Anyway, back to what you were saying.
What were you saying? Oh, yeah, you could actually just use like a preamp pedal to go and get up to line level.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, even if they're not making those anymore, you could just do it anyway.
Do it anyway. Screw them. See, that's sort of what I've been looking at more lately.
Cool.
Really.
I'm kind of keen to get some JHS 500 series modules.
Well, I'm looking at an empty 500 series rack here.
I have 10 spaces of opportunity, and it's all empty.
Emptitunity.
Yeah, I've just got a 500 series rack for my studio, and it's yet to be populated.
Which sounds like this.
Hilarious.
This is best podcast ever.
But actually, I should get into some of the Meris modules. That'd be fun.
Well, that's another thing I'm thinking of is possibly at some stage getting the for my home studio.
Yep.
Which is nowhere near as advanced as yours, but getting one of those preamps because they do.
Yeah.
Look pretty cool.
Pretty cool.
And actually, the Mercury 7 reverb, which you can now get in pedal form too, looks really cool.
Does like shimmery octave-y.
It does lots of stuff, and it sounds really cool.
And it has like dual function things, because if you press whole buttons, you can get extra
control. Well, kind of like Strymon. It has that Strymon vibe too. That's pretty much it at the moment. Oh, I'm actually, while we're talking about it, I watched one of my favorite YouTube dudes, our friend Henning from Germany. HP42.
Yes.
Which everyone should check out. He just did a bunch of video, or one really long video of all the Joyo, the little Joyo amps, whatever they're called, mini amps or not mini amps. They have some other name.
They're named after something, aren't they?
Yeah, but the series. It's not mini. It's something
to do with wrestling or like featherweight or something. It's something to do with like.
Okay, just talk amongst yourselves for a moment out there. I'll check it out. And there's some of them. Some of them are. Be quiet. Some of them are.
Good.
Sound really cool, yeah. I'm just looking it up. That's why I can't talk properly.
can't multitask.
No. That's not me. Where are they?
Because they named it after something to do with like boxing or
bantams.
Bantam. That's bantam. Is like a
featherweight kind of thing, like a lighter.
Yeah, it's
lighter. Bantam. Because I think he had something to do with the naming of it, because I think he sort of works for Joyo to a certain degree. Anyway, a whole bunch of different amps. These tiny little amps with a valve. I think it's a valve preamp, but. Transistor power amp?
Something like that, maybe. I can't remember now.
Something like that. But some of the heavier amps, I think one is called a Zombie?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, Zombie, and the Z and an O are like a lighter colour, and the MB is a darker colour, and it's like Mesa Boogie, I think.
Yeah.
And then what's the other? Meteor. And it's the O and the R, it's orange.
Yeah.
But I think those...
Cryptic.
Cryptic. I think the Zombie, that's the one I liked, which is quite a heavy sounding amp, like metal.
Metal.
But they're really cheap.
Yeah.
I think they're only like a couple hundred bucks. And for studio use, I thought that'd be cool.
Yeah, for sure.
Because sometimes I crave that metalness when I'm recording stuff.
Speaking of
craving metal.
How's your Bogner pedal going? You should use that for metal stuff.
I have been. That and the Box of Metal, the Zivek of Metal. I've been using them for if I wanted something a bit more metal sounding for recordings. That's what I've been using.
Yeah, cool.
They're good. They're good. They're good.
The Bogner pedal's great.
We need to do it. I don't think we've done a demo video.
Yeah.
I don't think we've done one of the Bogner.
Okay.
I think we should do that.
Yeah. You feel the red one here?
The red one, yeah. The middle one.
Red one.
Well, there's the blue one, which is the lower gain one. Red one, which is a slightly higher gain one. And then there's the black one, the Überschall, which is like the real metal one.
Stupid one.
But yeah, no, it's a good sounding pedal. I quite like it.
Yeah, it's good.
I'm a fan. So there might be a demo coming up of that soon. How are we going for time? What does it say to time?
I think it's about 50 minutes.
Oh, damn, red. I couldn't see that before 50 minutes. Well, I guess slowly we can wind it up.
Yeah.
So is there anything else that's exciting that you want to share with us, Alex?
Exciting.
I'm just trying to think if there's any, because it's been a while since we've done the last podcast, so I'm trying to think of if there's anything that is exciting that happened since then. Other than the Anna Sounds pedal and your all new reverbs and delays.
Did I show you my new bass guitar?
No.
Ah.
All right. I'm sure you guys are going to love this. Oh, cool.
It's a ukulele bass.
A bass ukulele. So that's Alex's Jazz Odyssey.
But it's kind of like a bit toy indie.
Oh, it's got XLR out.
Yeah, but if you plug it in, it sounds like an upright, like double bass.
Oh.
It's really cool. I've been using it on this album I've been recording the last few weeks. It's so cool. I'll play you some after this. And
that's good. You guys want to hear it. Cool. No, that's cool. And it's got those
kind of
snot looking.
That's the one.
Really stringy snot.
They're kind of polyurethane gunking. They're kind of like fat rubbery strings. If you ever seen it.
It is fat and rubbery.
Yeah, and it's fun.
Cool.
Super fun.
Well, there you go. Super fun, awesome.
Yeah.
In a happy sort of time. That's cool. We might even put a picture up of that.
Might do.
Or maybe you already have.
No, not yet.
No? Considering we are in the past now, even though we're in the future.
What?
We're in the future and the past at the same time.
My brain hurts.
This is a Marty McFly moment. My hand is disappearing. Cool. No, that's cool. So it's like a big ukulele, but more bassy.
It's still tuned like a bass guitar, but it's like 40s.
Oh, so it's still EADG.
Yeah.
So it's not ukulele tuning. Oh, okay. So this could then go to the ukulele metal band, playing all metal stuff with ukuleles.
Yeah.
Cannibal Corpse.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm going to do that.
Cannibal ukuleles. Ukulele Corpse. What was another one we did?
I know. We thought of some really clever ones.
We listed a whole bunch of them. Cool. No, that's cool. That's very cool. So coming up, what are we going to have coming up? Hopefully we'll have some more interviews with people. I still actually haven't put up. I should have. I just remembered that. The interview we did with Sparky, which was the very first thing we did.
Yeah.
And then I lost the video part of it. And then we've been waiting to do the video part. But we said, oh, let's just not worry about the video part and just put up the interview.
Because that probably won't happen for a long time.
That could be next week.
Yeah, let's do that. That's really fun. It's a friend of ours, Sparky, has a recording studio locally, and he has not one but two Space Echoes. Oh my god!
And they're not in a normal studio. They're inside containers, shipping containers that are converted into studios, which is what he does. And if you want one of them,
yeah,
you can order it.
You can build them. And not only does he have two space echoes, but he has two space echoes and a full-time tube tape echo as well. So
that came out, the tricky to come out.
It was a bit.
And not only does he have two space echoes and one full-tone echo in one container, no, he has two space echoes, one full-tone echo, and two containers, room one and room two.
Oh my god, yeah, he does.
There you go.
So,
Or control room and...
Yeah, and a live room.
Live room.
Which is cool. So, yeah, it's super fun having stereo tape delays that are kind of almost in time with each other, because you get this really, really cool, like, washy stereo effect.
Well, and it don't sound the same. That's the thing.
They're totally different.
They're totally a bit different.
Because they're 30 years old all the way down.
Yeah. So I might put that up next week or the week after. I think I said that last time as well, but I didn't end up doing it. And then so hopefully we'll have some more interviews with people and we'll do some more of this super awesome stuff. And we should just let us know if there's anything you want us to talk about or if you want.
We should do a video of the best bass effects to use with ukulele bass.
I don't think too many people would have done it. Oh, we still...
There's probably a reason.
We still eventually will get around to it. We've tried it once, but then it didn't work out. We'll still eventually do our rigs.
Oh, yes.
And now...
Or maybe after the studio board.
Yeah, after... That's it. And after I get
all the gear now.
The Maris pedal and the Freakout, because they're going on my board, and I'm making a new board. I'm waiting for them to come so I can make my new board.
Cool.
Maybe then we'll do a... Maybe even if we get a chance, but it's, again, time restraints, we could film the making of the board.
Be fun.
And I was thinking what we'll do is we'll do one podcast with video of your pedal boards.
Yes.
So electric, acoustic, and the studio board once it's done.
Yep.
And we'll do one separate podcast of my stupidly gigantic board. An acoustic board.
Acoustic board, yeah.
And then I thought, and let us know what your thoughts are, people. What about if we do a quick tour of your studio?
Oh, yeah.
And you can show some of your gear you've got here and do some sound examples.
Well, that might be interesting because I actually stole this recording setup off Tim Pierce with how I have the amp heads in the control room.
He went to his house, unscrewed everything, and just took the frames of everything and brought them here.
Took some food out of the cupboard. So yeah, it's I think it's really efficient and good way to record guitar. The way that I've stolen
stuff.
It could be interesting.
Yes. Indubitably. Cool. Yeah, well, so there you go. That's another three podcasts. And then there's a couple of other people we're going to talk to, so hopefully that's going to happen sooner or later. Now, school's back, so I don't have too many children at home, so hopefully that's something I'll get more time to do.
Cool.
And hopefully after doing 6 gigs this week. cool. Well, I guess that's about it, isn't it?
I think so.
So thank you very much for listening. Please make sure to subscribe. If you have any comments, if you want to know anything, if you want us to do anything, if you want us to eat again while we do the podcast because you like the chewing noises, let us know. Leave a message. If you can, go and like our Facebook page. We always post stuff on there. And subscribe to our YouTube channel too. Let us know where you're from in the world too, if you know, from Australia or from Australia or... From Australia.
Drop by the Facebook page and give us some love.
Or try not to be too mean, but, you know, some people don't give us love. They give us something else. But, I mean, that's love in some ways, maybe. Let us know what you want us to do, if we can do anything or any of the pedal demos we've done, if you want us to try something different or combinations of things, and we'll see if we can
do it.
We even had... I don't know if you noticed, if you saw that, but someone asked what scale I was playing on YouTube. On one of the videos, someone said, what was the scale I was playing?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want us to do some guitar lessons. For some reasons. Yeah, if you want to know what we're playing and how we're playing what we're playing, let us know. And we can do all that. Or bass, or ukulele bass. Basilele. Young and tall.
Thank you.
Cool. So that's it. We've okay. done enough.
Hope you enjoy your day. Whatever you're up to today.
Yes.
And we shall see you next time. Or hear you next time. No.
Hear you. No, you hear us next time.
Whatever.
Whatever it is.
It's too tricky.
So have a lovely day and see you.
Be good to your mum.
Yes, be good to your
mum. Don't run with scissors.
Say hi to your mum for me. And I'm not Roman Max. Bye.
See ya.